1 hour down, one more to go. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Grant Nicholson, and Jacob Mustard helping out with Grant over there on the other side of the glass. 913-586-7965. Want you to participate throughout the show, but especially for this, it is time for the out of left field question. Woo! All right. So I asked this question on social media, to which I got some responses, and I want to ask you on the text line as well.
You got to explain this question.
I know.
Grant, stick with us here. We'll see if he can explain it to you. Because, you know, just behind the scenes, he was struggling to explain. I was like, what do you mean? He got me there.
I've been rambling about college football. I've been a damn mess today. I'm sorry. I'm just really excited about hosting the show today.
I love it.
But, yes.
Me too.
What is a random artist or band whose music you really mess with, who you really like? Now, random, it can be a popular artist, but you can't say Drake. You can't say The Beatles. You can't say Taylor Swift. If there's an artist, whether they're underground, whether they were popular, have one hit, but they've fallen off it, but you like their music still. 913-586-7965.
I get it. Makes sense.
Okay.
You're in?
I'm glad I explained it. Okay.
We're in.
Yeah, he had a couple trials, and I feel like you did that. You truncated that down. That was good.
I'm glad that you told me before the show. Explain this to me a little bit better, please.
Please help me out.
Sure that you find a way how to ask the question right.
No, that's it. I think that was the right way to do it.
There are some people, by the way, on Twitter. Shout out to Joe. Joe Summer suggested many people. I don't know who a single person was in his list.
Yeah, you were telling me those names. I had no idea about those artists.
I think it's fun, though. It's a way to discover new music.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I love discovering new music. I wish I listened to more music more often. You had another comment, I believe, on your tweet that was said Oliver Tree. And I was like, Oliver Tree's great. And then none of you guys knew Oliver Tree. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Really, really good stuff.
From the text line.
Catchy.
These are some good ones.
Okay, yeah, we got some...
I apologize if I pronounce these names wrong because I don't know who they are. From the 913, Gogol Bordello? I don't know who that is.
What genre?
If you don't mind responding, what genre? The same person said start
with... Would that look good with my complexion? I don't know. Purple's usually pretty good for me.
From the 660, minus the bear, 100%. Who? This is the part of the question, though.
Are we getting trolled? Like Froggy Fresh from the 816?
Grant, who's the artist that you mess with that maybe Mac or I don't know, or maybe we do know, but you really mess with their music more?
Well, I don't know if this is somebody you guys will know, but I'm curious to see if it counts. Carly Rae Jepsen?
Yeah.
She's got some deep cuts.
That's a good one.
That I really mess with.
Maybe I need to expand my palate. I think I recognize the name, but I don't know what music they...
Carly Rae Jepsen?
Yeah, yes.
You don't know? What's it called? Call Me Maybe. The Call Me Maybe.
Oh,
lady.
So Call Me Maybe.
Yeah, she has other.
That song got in my head quickly.
Less popular stuff is better.
Is it really?
Yeah. Way better.
That's the direction that I'm going. Like, you can pick a one hit wonder who's the hit is great or whatever, but the other music is actually better than what the hit was. I like that. That was the purpose of the question.
What about MJ Linderman? Either of you guys know that?
MJ Linderman.
It's kind of like an alt country rock situation.
Country rock?
Oh, okay. This guy looks dope. All right. I'll give him a listen.
I need to write down all these names in the text line. I'm going to listen to these guys or gals on the way home.
Yes.
Queens of the Stone Age from the 913. Is that a rock
one.
Band?
Great one. Yep.
Sounds like a rock band name.
Prof's a good shout out from the 660.
Prof, okay. Don't know that one. Writing it down. What's Prof?
It's like hip hop.
Okay.
Someone said Insane Clown Posse. Sorry. I'm staying away from that because it's clowns.
You're not a juggalo?
Wow, what?
That was a deer in the headlights right there.
He was like, what? Yeah, that is
that's
their...
What their fans are
that is,
them.
Yes. Yeah. That is their group.
Okay.
And the answer would be no.
Anything
true,
to do,
by the way. Make sure you say no to that.
Anything to do with clowns is a nah for me, regardless. I don't know anything about them. Clowns is a no.
From the 913, Daft Punk. Ooh, I love me some Daft Punk, man.
Specifically, the Tron Legacy soundtrack.
Yes.
I know Daft Punk, so let's...
Yes, okay, yes.
A lot of these other ones, I feel really bad about this because I don't know... Big country music fan Copper Allen sounds like an underground country artist who hasn't quite made it yet, but could make it.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of people in the country music world who have popped off recently that started underground. So I guess in that case, Grant, you answered. Mac, who is your popular artist who you mess with?
Well, I don't know if this counts, and I'm not even like playing Homer here. He's really one of my guys. Tech Nine is one of my dudes. Like every
that's
album.
That's a good example, I think.
I think that's a good example too.
Yeah, since middle school.
He's an OG.
OG.
Still comes out with music every now and then.
To be honest, all the time.
I only know like his three most popular songs. So anything beyond that, I think it counts.
Oh yeah, and I listen to him all the time. Breaking Benjamin, great band, 816. Great call
out. I do know who Breaking Benjamin.
There we go, that's a good one.
We are two for 13. The Verve, heard of them as well.
Okay, The Verve, haven't heard of them.
Deftones.
Deftones,
yes,
heard of nice.
Yeet as well. The question is, if you're just now joining, you're like, what the heck is going on? We're just naming bands or artists.
Yeah, exactly. Who's that?
The random question is, what is a random artist or band whose music you really mess with that maybe other people either don't know or they have a hit and it's not, the hit is fine, but you like their other music a little bit better. So mine.
Yeah, what is, yeah, what's yours?
So mine is, I don't know if you guys have heard of K-Camp.
What is it, Kid Camp?
No, K-Camp.
Okay, good. Okay, K-Camp.
K-Camp.
Okay.
I've played some songs on Cody and Gold to Mr. Metals, and somebody every now and then shouts, hey, you got some K-Camp.
He's a rapper.
Yeah, he's a rapper. From Milwaukee, he comes. He had one or two really good, like really, really, really good hits. Actually, he has had more than that. But I was listening to K-Camp coming in. I'm like, this song was made in like 2012, and I'm out here still bumping it. I like it. That's where the question originated from. K-Camp, some good music.
K-Camp, good weed, bad bee.
I got two for you.
What do you got?
Okay.
You guys remember Henderson from 2016? Ish, that's when he...
What a genre?
Kind of hip-hop.
Henderson. I feel like it kind of does ring a bell, but I'm
looking him up.
And then, complete opposite way, a little bit more popular, The Grateful Dead.
Oh, nice. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely heard of them. Yeah, somebody texted
Deadhead,
in.
Yeah.
Baby, just get comfortable. That is so comfortable, K-Cam's song, Comfortable. You can play the instrumental. It's a good instrumental. It's catchy, it's vibes. Vibe a little bit. I don't know if we can read this one on the air from the 816. Maybe because it's a band name, but I'm not going to take the risk.
Yeah, we won't. 913 Chapel Roan. That's a little
heard of them.
Mainstream. Heard of her? Yes.
I feel bad for just saying I. Sorry. you know, again, this I.
At the Pink Pony Club, I'm gonna keep. Yeah, dude. I like Chapel.
I'm just gonna go over in the corner and sit down while you guys talk about the music, because I don't know who a lot of these people are.
I'm not great with it either, man. Power Man 500 from the 816. I'm writing these down, by the way, guys. I like these. Mason Ooh. Jennings.
How about this? Someone from the 816 promoting a local guy, local country guy out of Lewisburg, Kansas, Anthony Juarez. Listen to the song, Photograph. If you're married.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm engaged. I'll make it count. 816. Drew's married though, so he gets.
Shout out to the local artist as well, because that always is fun.
Oh, so much fun. So much fun.
Well, that was the out of left field question. Thank you for your participation.
That was great.
Oh,
I love that.
Family Force 5.
Don't know.
Hold on. You don't know. Hold on. I need to make sure
I Family Force 5.
I need to make sure that I actually. What's a good song from Family Force 5? Because I think I. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know who Family Force 5 is. Wobble, Chainsaw, Love Addicts.
Like, wait, Wobble, like, Wobble, baby, Wobble. I wonder, what's one? Saving Abel from the 816.
That's a good one. There's Love your this. Out of left field question. I think that was great. Thank you very much for your participation again. 913-586-7965. We're getting back to sports after the break here. We referenced it in the first hour. Patrick Mahomes, is this his worst season ever? Or is there a little bit more that's not quite... being talked about as much in regards to Patrick Mahomes and how this season has gone for him. We're going to talk about that next as After Hours continues right here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours, 96.5 The Fan, Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Grant Nicholson, Jacob Mustard, all a part of today's show. More suggestions coming in as well. Hailstorm for the out of left field question. I'm going to have to check some of these out, Mac, on the way home.
I know, for real.
That's how we're going to...
got like 15 written down.
Love it. And we might have to give you a follow-up tomorow in regards to...
Yes, exactly. Which artists
we
like, some reviews.
We don't
yes.
like.
We will be with you tomorrow for 2 hours.
We are, yes. 7 to 9, same time. Hope you can join us then as well. 913-586-7965. Be a part of the show and the conversation. I got a question for you. Talked about it a little bit in the first hour, teased it for you. Has this been Patrick Mahomes' worst season ever? I think there's a lot that goes into it, actually, Mac, more than what you might think. Like, statistically, looking at it, sure. Like, yeah, he hadn't been that great. But I wonder, to me, when evaluating what is a worst season, what's a best season, and all of that, if they win the Super Bowl this year, I don't think Patrick Mahomes would say, this is the worst season I've ever had. Because Patrick Mahomes is built different.
He's about results.
You know, yeah, he wants the results. He wants the Super Bowls, where maybe somebody else is not calling out Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. But if Josh Allen wins MVP and he doesn't say they lose to the Chiefs again, does he think that the season is a good season or a great season because he won MVP? Is this your best season yet? I would expect him to say absolutely not because we didn't win the whole thing.
That was an epic failure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He should.
So I think that there's an interesting aspect of the conversation where if you're looking at just the box score, just the statistics, that's what the national conversation is around Patrick Mahomes is he's not that good. He's not playing as well. And I understand that there is some merit to that. Like he is not playing that great. However, what determines your worst season ever versus your best season ever? The year that Matt Mahomes is throwing 50-plus touchdowns, deep bombs to Tyreek Hill and all that stuff, they lose in the Super Bowl to Tampa Bay. If they win the Super Bowl this year...
No, that wasn't the 55,000, but yeah.
Sorry, whatever.
But I know what you mean.
He looks way better. He's winning MVP, all that stuff.
100%.
I think that if they won the Super Bowl this year, Mahomes would probably say the worst season was that year because they didn't win the Super Bowl. You would think that. So I think that there's levels to this conversation as it pertains to what actually makes up Patrick Mahomes' quote-unquote worst season.
Yeah, I've thought a lot about this question these past few days, and it's between last season and this season, really. To me, the reason that it is this season is... Or yes, because it's this season is because last year to me felt like it was more the receivers dropping passes, whereas this season I feel like it is either Mahomes not seeing the open guy because of what, and there's factors to that, right? Offensive line, worries, all those things, pressured, but also just missing throws. I feel like I've seen more missed throws from Mahomes. I know the success rate on third and fourth downs near the top of the lead. His EPA per drop back on third and fourth down first, right in front of Josh Allen as far as the whole NFL is concerned. He's got the advanced statistics to go along with anything you want to say as far as his success. But the eye test, I just see more missed throws on little out routes or a little bit slower to finding that guy on his third progression. Like I don't know how you see it, but when I look at it, I'm just seeing a guy who could speed up the whole process a little bit. And I'll add on, he will. There is 100% confidence in me that he will. And it is because of that left tackle. It's because of the guys that he hasn't been playing with these guys since August. I've mentioned that so many times throughout the week. I mean, practiced all offseason with Hollywood Brown. Boom, he's gone. Practiced all offseason in these last couple of years with Pacheco. Boom, he's gone. You know, got to get used to this guy, DeAndre Hopkins. You know, there's just so many new things that you've got to figure out. Xavier Worthy, this is a rookie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, new chemistry. Got to figure this whole thing out. So I just think... Like it will get better, but yeah, I would say yes, this has been his worst season. I would put the most of the more blame on him than I would have last season. Whereas last year I go receivers, offense overall, play calling, all these things. Whereas this year I'm like, guys are open. I see more often than last year, more often.
Yeah, because the wide receiver room is obviously a little bit better.
A little bit better.
I think a lot of it, I think Mahomes is not having his best season again for all the reasons you mentioned. I think the left tackle, you also mentioned that is, it's not necessarily causing him to get happy feet, but I think there's times where he maybe as a quarterback, sometimes you think that you don't have the time that you actually do.
Yes.
You don't trust your guys. Somebody from the 816 mentions, I think he's fallen back into his old habits, like throwing off platform, targeting Kelsey, trying to hit the home run instead of taking the deep check or the check down. I think the one that out of those points maybe is the off platform, I guess. Because in that, for example, the throw to Xavier Worthy. It's off platform. It's off his back foot. You know, he's not stepping into that throw, and he's avoiding a sack as well in the meantime. If I remember, he was rolling to his right, and he kind of just off the back foot, cross field throw. Like, it was a very difficult throw to make, but I think a lot of it goes back to the offensive line, in this case, at least as it pertains to this conversation, more than it is Mahomes actually himself is not having a good season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I struggle with the premise of the question a little bit. What is his... He's still the best player in the league. you know, even if this is his worst statistical season. It's hard to judge what's his worst season, but it might be this year. And I think we also have to talk about the lack of consistency, not just on the offensive line, talk about the tackles all day, every day, it seems like, but also the weapons for the last two seasons. Kadarius Toney is in the lineup. He's out of the lineup. Juju Smith-Schuster's in the lineup. He's out of the lineup.
Hartman's on the team. He's off the team. He's back on the
DeAndre.
Team.
Yeah, McColl's going everywhere. Yeah. He doesn't – it's tough to know what to expect out of guys if people are changing, your personnel changing every single week. And obviously with Travis Kelce coming in and out as well, it's tough.
I think that's really a point just for – because it's more about the external factors than it is like Mahomes himself.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. Yeah, I think that it – I think if we look at next year, because to me, to your point, I think that he hasn't had a really good wide receiver room fully put together yet. And in the playoffs, he might. It'll be better, but still no Rashee Rice. But next year, I know Rashee's probably going to get the suspension, but next year, if you have Rashee Rice and say you bring back DeAndre Hopkins and you have Xavier Worthy and you still have Kelce and maybe you draft another wide receiver, the room is substantially upgraded and you're still playing like this and they're all healthy, then it's actually a legitimate conversation, I think, more than it is maybe this year. And you know, that's not to knock our question because we both came up with it. Obviously, Mac and I doing that. But yeah, and other shows have talked about it on the station.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a worthwhile topic,
but I think that next year is really maybe the true quote-unquote test where he might be back to normal form. He might throw for 4,500 yards and 50 touchdowns next year because he got the full complement of wide receivers, and this is all going to be for naught. But if he has a similar season next year where he's maybe throwing more picks or, he's struggling with off-platform throws, not even statistically playing bad, but he just doesn't look like he's connecting as well and the wide receiver room is healthy and they're full, that's where I think the conversation of this is his worst season or he's not playing as good actually might have more merit.
Just this season, he's playing with Hollywood Brown all offseason long.
All offseason.
He's been signed forever.
Yep.
10 plays into the preseason, he's out.
Boom.
Potentially for the full regular season.
Yeah.
He's coming back, but whatever. I mean, you just can't... What can you expect from the guy when stuff changes all the time?
No, I agree. I agree completely. I will say, overall, this conversation probably means nothing because we know what Patrick Mahomes is going to do in the playoffs, right? Come January, we know he's going to step up. My point, though, is those external factors that we've all brought up now, the left tackle, the changing of the guard as far as receivers concerned, constant revolving door there in the backfield and the wide receiver room. I would say, Joe, my only point, though, is that this year, to me, those external factors have meant less than in maybe last year. To me, it has been maybe if it's a 5% or 10% bubble, it's just been a little bit more of a, okay, Mahomes. Whereas last year, I wasn't saying that as much. And it truly could just be those deep balls to Xavier. That truly could be what's sticking out in my mind, those two or three moments.
I think it is.
I think it is. And it's
the one thing that you can knock because it actually has been. That's the one thing you actually can knock about Mahomes is it had to me the deep ball. The biggest thing is because it has been partially his fault.
Yes.
And you can say it is Patrick Mahomes' problem because he has thrown the ball out of bounds a couple of times. That's the only thing that you can point directly to.
Overthrown Xavier multiple times.
Yeah.
Wide open, he's overthrown. I mean, the Chiefs are last as far as explosive play rate's concerned. I think Isaiah Pacheco will help that greatly on the ground.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
But the passing game, that's got to be Mahomes. But at the end of the day, I do think he will get there. I just think, it's frustrating. You got a text from the 816. He's also 6 years older than his 5,000 yard and 50 touchdown season. He's not 40, but he's also no spring chicken.
Yeah.
Nah.
What is he? 28 still?
He's in his prime.
He's 29. He just turned 29.
He's in his prime.
He's my age. Yeah.
You're in your prime, Drew.
Look at me. when we come back, we are ranking head coaching vacancies. We already know some of which are going to come up, obviously, because their head coaches have been fired. Probably not going to stick with the interim. We'll talk about those as well as maybe some other ones that could potentially come up either in the coming weeks or after the season is done. Don't go anywhere. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Paid for client portrayal and endorsement. The choice of a lawyer is a new
ban.
On After Hours, 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Jacob Mustard, and Grant Nicholson producing the show. So going into the last half hour, Mac's getting down over here.
Getting groovy, baby. Yeah. Loving it.
We're ranking head coach vacancies, some of which we already know are going to exist, like the Jets, like the Saints.
There's a plethora of these, man. There are so many.
But there are some that we definitely think are going to open up here over the next few weeks or potentially at the end of the season after all things are said and done. I'm going to give you the list of teams that we have written down, and then Mac and I are going to talk about it a little bit. You can also chime in, 913-586-7965. We'll also get Jacob's opinion as well. The Raiders, the Jets, the Jags, the Bears, Buccaneers, Saints, Cowboys, Bengals, and maybe the Giants as well. We know the Saints are going to be open, probably. They're not going to hire the interim. At least they're going to go through the whole process before they hire the interim, it would seem like. And then also the Jets. Those are the two guarantees that we know. The guarantees that we know in terms of head coach openings. I don't think those are necessarily the greatest situations. If we're looking at the Jets or the Saints, Mac, I don't think you put the Jets or the Saints in that category of, yeah, these are the better jobs when I list off places like the Jaguars even, or the Bears, or the Bengals. Do you think that the Buccaneers are actually in this conversation? I know that you mentioned them. I don't know if they're in there much. But
I think Todd Bowles is on the serious hot seat, but
playoffs, they might move on, or does it have to be worse than that?
You know what? That kind of contradicts my take, because my take that I mentioned on Fesco Industrial, that I mentioned to you in the bullpen before the show, is I think the Bucs are actually making the playoffs. That's a separate discussion for a separate day.
That would take them out, probably, because
yeah, if they make the playoffs from, what are they, 4-6 or something, and then, they can't fire Todd Bowles. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin go down, and he's like, yeah, but you're fired. So you're right. We'll get rid of the Bucs. Let's get rid of the Bucs. They'll be, along with the Giants, we can have them as a honorable mention.
Okay. Do you think the Saints and Jets jobs are even close to the top? Like, I don't even know if they're the one or two option. Because the Saints have Derek Carr, but they're in a bad situation, you know, contract-wise.
Yeah, Saints, no. Cap-wise, they are in cap hell.
The Jets, you might cut Aaron Rodgers
when
you get in there. They're going to have a new GM. Those two options are not very good.
If we're counting your Bengals,
I think it's the best.
There's no question. I don't even think we need to discuss that is the number one vacancy if Zach Taylor is fired. And in this scenario, let's say he is. So
I agree.
We've got him one, right? We can do that pretty easily.
Yeah.
Okay, let's got him one. Okay, after that, like you mentioned, the Saints, rough.
No.
Jets, rough.
No. Cowboys?
Do you want Jerry Jones? You know, it's the Bears.
No, it's not. I would
the
say
the Jags.
The Bears is tempting. I think Jacksonville might be the second best opening. I know Caleb Williams is really good. I know the Bears defense is really good. There might be more things to fix with the Jaguars, but I think the Jags are second. I don't know if you agree, Mac.
Jags are second. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I would put either the Jags or the Bears. To me, I think I'd go Bears.
I think it's 2 and 3 or Jags, Bears. It's just depending on how you flip them.
I'm fine with Jags too. I think me personally.
I'll put the Bears at 2 with you then.
Okay, we'll go Bears, then Jags.
I think they can be flip-flopped. It doesn't matter. I think they're both good. They're both quality, good quality openings.
Well, okay, to me, my reasoning is Caleb Williams younger, so I'm coming in earlier on that progression. And I think the Bears defense is actually solid. I think from a roster standpoint, I got a little more to work with.
In terms of defenses, them and the Jets have the two best defenses, probably, on paper.
Yes, but both just drafted what seems to be great wide receiver ones, especially over there in Jacksonville. Get to work with Brian Thomas.
Big time.
Yeah, big time. So I get where you're coming from, too. So, and I still am definitely not out on Trevor Lawrence. I don't know about you, but
I'm not out on him. I like Trevor Lawrence, but I just hasn't quite meshed. He hasn't had a true superstar receiver yet. Now he has Brian Thomas. He's going to be a superstar. He's going to be a top-tier guy. Up next, I think, is, you know, that's where it gets interesting. Cowboys, Jets, Raiders? I don't know what you put it for. I think Cowboys might be a 4, I'm going to be honest. Just because of the roster.
Gosh, I wouldn't want to work for any of these teams.
No.
Well, okay, here's the thing. The Raiders have a very good... Oh, yeah, never mind. The Raiders have a very good chance to get the number one overall pick.
They're taking Shador?
That's the thing. Do you want to go with Shador?
Does Dion take the Raiders
job? That's like maybe going to happen.
Did you see what every time the Raiders lose, he tweets out?
Who, Dion?
No, I think it's, is it Travis Hunter? I think one of them tweets out, thank God the Raiders lost.
Really?
Yeah. Or thank God, or praise God. And then it's like whenever it happens, as soon as the Raiders lose.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to have to go.
I like that conspiracy there. Dijon, I like that. I like that a lot. Come on, man.
I think we'll put the... I'll say Cowboys, but I don't know how you stand.
I mean, I've got a number one top five receiver there. I've got what I believe still be a top 12 quarterback in Dak Prescott.
Micah Parsons.
Got Micah. I've got Diggs. Yeah, we'll go. I've got somewhat of an infrastructure. There's still, you know, Zach Martin's a Hall of Famer. He'll come back healthy next season. Tron Smith, all those things. So, okay.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, Cowboys, then Raiders, I guess. I mean, what do you got going with the Raiders right now? You've got Brock Bowers. You got the best tight end, best up-and-coming tight end in the league.
Yeah.
Got Max Crosby, and then Crickets.
And then
it's Crickets.
The Jets. I think the Jets are the fifth best job.
Wow.
And I know that it's Aaron Rodgers.
That's hot.
But you have Garrett Wilson. You have Breece Hall. You have Braylon Allen.
You have
Quinnen Williams.
That's fair.
You have Hassan Reddick. You have Sauce Gardner. I think they might be a better job than the Cowboys. If you're dealing with Aaron Rodgers.
That's the thing. That was my next question for you.
If it is Aaron Rodgers, I think the Jets are maybe six on the list. If you're not dealing with Aaron Rodgers and you fully restart, they might put him at four. Because roster-wise, they're loaded roster-wise. Yeah. I think that it gives them the case to be higher up than any of the other teams left.
And the Jets don't have logic, so me even saying this is stupid because the Jets don't work with logic. But if they were being logical, they fired Joe Douglas, they fired Robert Saleh. That means you've kind of admitted failure to this whole Aaron Rodgers experiment. The next logical step would be, we'll see you later. We'll see you later, number eight. Mm. Go do some ayahuasca and go lick some toads or whatever you do. That would be the next thing for Rodgers. But you're right. If there is no Rodgers there and he is doing ayahuasca somewhere in a dark, deep cave, then, yeah, that roster's pretty damn good. I do get where you're coming from.
I think that's the selling point.
We'll do it. We'll do Jets at four, Cowboys at five, because we're saying we're not dealing with Rodgers. Because if you're dealing with Rodgers, then I'm not taking that job. That's a death sentence.
I think, golly, man, I don't... The Saints, I think, need a complete restart, but they're not going to have it next year because Derek Carr's still under contract. So I think the Raiders might be the sixth spot, and then the Saints are the worst.
I agree.
Spot to land.
I agree because I'm in less cap hell, and I don't have to deal with, like, okay, we got to get rid of Derek Carr. I've got Spencer Rattler on this roster. At least with the Raiders, it is clean slate. Minshew, we'll see you later. Aiden O'Connell, you're probably not on this team. It's completely, like, whatever new head coach comes in, they get to make it their own, so... Bengals at one. You got a text about your Tigers, 816. Bengals going to have issues with trying to sign Chase.
They're not.
They have denied 816. You're wrong.
No. Shout out to you. Thank you for texting in. But they have $55 million in cap space for next year.
Yeah, I do.
They're going to be okay. In terms of drafting,
what do you say? Sorry.
Plus the Patriots might throw the bag at T. Higgins.
The Patriots can go ahead and take him. Because at this rate, the Bengals are not signing him.
That's true. I don't think they're going to sign him. So they're going to have more room for Chase.
Honestly, I think they maybe should. But they're going to have
No, I think they should too.
I think that draft-wise as well. Drafting is where the Bengals are going to have a problem. Because historically, they haven't drafted particularly well recently. From that same text or from the 816, if the Niners miss the playoffs, do they move on from Shanahan? I don't think you can.
No,
because
that'd be crazy.
He's made to two Super Bowls. I know you haven't won them, but I don't think you can get rid of.
No,
I do think it is interesting though that even they got McCaffrey back, Debo's there, Kittle's there, Purdy's there. Like defensively, that's where they've had problems. And I think it's not necessarily Shanahan. He needs to find a defensive coordinator who's as good as what they've had previously because the defense has not been as good as what we typically have expected from the Niners.
He needs to find his next Saleh or D'Amico Ryans.
Why not bring back Saleh?
That's a great point. You know, Saleh's not doing anything. He doesn't have a job. Bring back Saleh. That's honestly it. You want to have another shot at a head coaching opportunity? Yeah. Robert Saleh would be
the DC at the Niners.
Go be the DC. Yeah, go rebuild that defense. And it's like rebuild. I mean, they've got a great roster. And I agree with you. Shanahan from the 816, I agree with your point. You know,
I think it's a good question because I think it's valid.
I think
you're underachieving. If they miss the playoffs, that's really bad underachieving.
But they also, I wouldn't say overachieved, but if you make the Super Bowl twice and make the NFC Championship, you know, 4 out of 5 years, that's overachieving.
You're doing pretty good.
That's pretty damn good. And to just say, you know, 1 year you messed up, out of here, I think that's a little bit of a short leash. But
yeah,
I mean, I get it. I get it. Sometimes a tenure just has served its time. I have, and I will continue to compare Shanahan and Andy Reid because...
Well, yeah, they're both offensive guys. I feel like that's
They're both offensive guys.
Andy Reid is the standard.
Well, and Shanahan has gone to the promised land, but has been unable to come back with the Holy Grail. So, and that was whole Andy Reid's whole problem. Couldn't get it done with the first franchise. Most coaches can't. I imagine that will be the same story with Kyle Shanahan, 816. I just don't think so yet.
That's going to do it for our segment here. Coming up next, there are some problems with the NBA that Mac and I both have. Adam Silver's been complaining recently.
Yeah, he needs to shut it.
This is the thing, though. It's not just about basketball, though, because it goes across sports. There are some things that we think should be changed in the NBA in particular, but it also has just as much of an impact in football and baseball and the rest of the sports that we consume on a regular basis. We're going to wrap up the show next. It is After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
From the Mission Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling Studios.
Wrapping up After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Jacob Mustard, and Grant Nicholson, part of the show today. So we're going to wrap the show up with some changes that we would like. In sports in general, I think this is going to hit in different areas. But regarding the NBA in particular, so Adam Silver recently has been in the news. He's the NBA commissioner, by the way, if you do not know.
He's the one that looks like a skeleton on the sidelines. That guy.
He said that viewership has been declining in the NBA, and he said there's a number of things that he think are related to the issue of declining. Is obviously, you know, the World Series, and of course we also had the election. People are paying attention to those things. NBA ratings are down 3% on TNT. 28% on ESPN through November 14th at the time per Front Office Sports.
So about a week ago.
But there's a lot of people are making the comments of, well, I can already tell you what the problems are. You know, you're not carrying, there's not enough star power. Your stars, if they are playing, are not playing back-to-backs. There's not enough storylines in the NBA. Like, the biggest storyline right now actually might be the fact, it's not now anymore because your Celtics knocked them off, but the Cleveland Cavaliers were 15-0 and wasn't really a story. Like, if it were the Warriors, like, I remember, what year did they start off 22-0 or whatever?
Oh,
Luke Walton, like 2017,
yes.
2018.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a huge deal when they were 10-0.
Massive.
It wasn't a big deal regarding the Cavs.
It was so big back then.
So
yeah.
I think in terms of priorities, the games don't matter as much. The biggest stars are sitting out, not playing back-to-backs, Joel Embiid, but other ones as well. All of a sudden, it might be load management where you pay $50 for a ticket for you and your kid to go. They're not playing. You feel like you wasted your money.
You wasted your night.
You know, you're not getting your money back.
Absolutely.
So and also streaming services in the NBA. You need 4 different streaming services.
The NBA app sucks if you've ever had
NBA
League Pass.
Oh,
it's terrible.
And I have League Pass. NBA app is not
I know multiple
good
people, and maybe you've done it too, Drew, who literally pay for League Pass and end up streaming still illegally.
How everybody feels about the Bally Sports app? We have the same feelings.
Very similar sentiments towards the NBA
about
app.
League Pass. But there's a lot of problems that I think people can relate with other sports as well in, you know, baseball and the way that they promote the sport and the way that they advertise the sport. Like talk shows, they're not spending enough time talking about the good stories, where we all love a good story in sports. Good stories are there, but everybody wants to cover LeBron James. And I get LeBron James is a great story and you should be covering him. But there's other things that are worth your time just as much, if not more, regarding how the coverage is personified. And again, 82 games, it's the baseball conversation. Do you need 82 games to determine who the best 8 seeds are or who the 10 best seeds are for the play-in? Probably not. I do like the NBA Cup, though.
I love the NBA Cup. I think there's some major changes, but...
The conversation is like baseball, though, in terms of the game length. Like, you don't need this many games and people don't want to pay attention as much. Nope, or in the NFL, for instance, 16 games, every single game feels like it matters a ton. Yeah. Unless you're the Chiefs and you just look forward to the playoffs every year.
If it was 65 games, I think that'd be even better. But even that's a lot for the normal viewer. But you and I know they'd need at least 55 or 60 games. You can't have less than that. It wouldn't really make sense, like for the way this is structured right now. But they're never going to do that. But that is the key. They're never going to do that. But that is the key. Less games, because these games need to matter more. The in-season tournament is the first step there. The NBA Cup's the first step there, and I think it's a great step. Tuesdays and Fridays right now in the NBA are fun. Those are the NBA Cup days. Fans know that they're watching an NBA Cup game when they turn the game on. They see a yellow cord, a blue cord. Oh, this is the NBA Cup. This is great. Now, there still are some key changes. Me, even as a Celtics fan, huge NBA guy, NBA Cup starts, I'm going, oh, the Hawks are in our group? Oh, okay, the Cavs are in our group? And I'm a hardcore NBA guy. Like, that systematically needs to change. The groups need to make sense. They need to matter. I need to know who is in my group.
Like, geographically?
If you have a system set up that is...
They have divisions. I know we don't talk about it in the NBA.
Yeah, so use your divisions as your groups. Do whatever, but make it make sense to where I can know what's happening. Because if you have a system set up to where the groups matter greatly and I don't know who is in my group, that is a fundamental issue with the system you've set up. But I think they are getting there with the in-season tournament. That's massive. We talked about the point differential rule in the in-season tournament. Even if you're getting blown out, like, keep trying, keep scoring, keep your starters in.
From the 816, again, 913-586-7765, be a part of the show. NBA players are far less likable. I think that's a fair point. There's more ego.
I disagree.
It's a more ego-driven, which is why I think they're either far less likable or they're much more likable. Because they're, like Anthony Edwards, that man speaks his mind. Like, he might have no
extremely likable.
He has no media training. He's going to say what the hell he wants to.
Exactly.
It makes him a whole lot more fun to watch. You got to be honest. Than football players who are particularly media trained, they give you the same answers all the time. NBA players say what they want, and honestly, they don't give a damn, even if it causes them to be some problems. Draymond Green, very unlikable, but I think that makes the league actually...
I think you need
it,
heels.
It helps.
No, you need heels.
There was one tweet regarding this that I finally found. This person gave six reasons as to why the main cause of it is. One is illegal streams. I think that's a fair point. Having a good app would be nice, and also having an affordable, a better way to bring coverage to your games would be. Number two, not serious enough analysis. You can maybe talk about this across sports where NBA, inside the NBA is great, but when they need to focus, they need to focus. They don't have Stephen A. Smith going off on a rant because it's about the Knicks and nobody cares about anybody but the Knicks except for him.
Well, and they don't even know, like, the fifth guy on the Wizards or something.
Correct. Three, lack of effort into the playoffs and finals presentation. I think that also is fair.
Gosh, it is huge problem.
It doesn't feel like it means anything. Too many teams in the playoffs may make in the play-in. This one, I think, is a really big one that people don't...
Too many teams making the playoffs?
No, the next one. Easy access to highlights on social media. I know that that's a really big thing, but baseball, I think, also has a problem with this in a way where I don't... Let me just go on social media, and the plays come at me like it's nothing.
Yeah, you don't need to see the game.
I don't need to watch the game because I can know what Anthony Edwards did based on a two-minute highlight video because it's just his baskets. Like, I don't need to watch this. Baseball, same way. Home run, grand slam, social media videos pop like crazy. In a way, it helps, but it also kind of hinders the enjoyment of, let me just sit down and watch a basketball game. Or let me sit down and enjoy a baseball game.
And if you're listening to this, well, I can do that with NFL games. I can go look up the highlights. No, but it's different. And let me tell you why. Because the way you're consuming those things are different. When you're on the NBA, you're almost consuming those things to catch up. Whereas the NFL, you're consuming those things to be like, oh my gosh, that was a great play. Or if you see a highlight that you missed a game on, you're like, damn, I missed that game. Whereas you do that with an NBA regular season game, here we're in game 15 or whatever it is, you're like, well, Giannis had 59 the other night. That's cool. You know, you're not like, damn it, I missed it.
I can go and watch his highlights. Yeah,
exactly. I didn't have it on. Oh, shoot. Whereas hell, if you had something going on 325 on this last Sunday, you're ticked off. You're telling your fiance or your wife or your girlfriend, can we please reschedule, babe? Please, we got Chiefs Bills. I got to catch this game. You're not doing that for Bucks Celtics or Celtics Cavs last night.
Darren Fox scored 60 points the other night, and I didn't know until he scored 49 the next night. I was like, oh, he had back-to-back game scoring.
Back-to-back? Yeah, you wouldn't have known.
Yeah, I didn't realize it. Somebody from the 9-1. Sorry, Mike. If you go to another point, go
Well,
ahead.
I was going to say, to the last text, the 816, NBA players love for. I guess I agree. I guess what I'll say is the NBA has the most stars, though, and I think that is...
They promote it so much better than baseball,
they
too.
They do. They
so
have
much
stars.
Better. Miles better.
Tatum's a massive star. Edwards is a massive star. They have guys. They need to kind of usher this new era in a little bit better because LeBron ain't going to be here much longer. KD, Steph, Like, Carmelo's already gone. Like, those names are what's kind of holding this
up. That's why they need guys like Ja to stay out of trouble.
And those guys are more likable than the new guys. Those old guys are more likable. We need more likable stars now. I think that is fair to the 816. Sorry.
From the 913, no, you're good. I interrupted you, Mac. I'm sorry. To me, there are a few factors from the 913. The league is so soft now. Defense is getting penalized in order to bulk up stats. Two, players taking off games to rest when not injured. Three, LeBron's a great player, but the league has pushed his needs and wants above any other player. Also, four, flopping and the refs falling for it. I'll be honest. Flopping and the refs falling. The referee problem really goes across sports.
Yeah, refs blow.
We need to have some younger guys or gals.
Yes,
younger men and women officiating these games because I don't need Scott Foster having to squint and try to look across the court and call a foul. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't need it. The refs do have personalities. Again, referees, I guess it's part of the NBA. Real referees have personalities in the NBA. Chris Paul also does not like Scott Foster. Scott Foster doesn't like Chris Paul.
Refs are, you're right. Refs are part of the storyline.
Definitely. I think
Tony Brother, like these are, that's a part of the storyline. I think that's a good point. I will say flopping, I think, has gotten better, but you're right. Officiating, a problem. Players not playing, league soft.
That's the number one. I think the league being soft, Shaq thinks that it's because the three-point shot is too relevant.
That's baloney
now.
To me.
I think it's very entertaining.
God, that's baloney.
I think there needs to be a better balance because a lot of it is analytics driven. It's not like they're just chucking up threes the whole game.
No.
Certain teams are, though. Like the Celtics shoot a lot of threes, but again, they make a whole lot of them. So why would you go away from that?
Yeah, reigning champions going for back-to-back.
It doesn't make any sense. That's going to do it for us. We got 2 more hours tomorrow. Same time, 7 to 9. Catch us then. For Mac, for Grant, for Jacob, I'm Drew Nixon. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll catch you tomorrow for more After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Till then, peace.